Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
Hi friends, my name is Dave. I'm on the ministry team here at Living Waters, and thanks for joining us today as we study the Word of God. Certainly today, you would appreciate we're beginning a new series. It's called Rivers, and for the next 4 weeks between things that I would share and Kirsten and Luke, we do carry this interest that as we talk about rivers, specifically the person and work and role of the Holy Spirit, we certainly imagine the benefit of talking about that with other people. We appreciate those that are regularly involved in life groups at Living Waters. We know perhaps that you're involved in conversations and friendships with families and groups. And so we are so interested in you participating in these personal study, but again, opening scriptures up with other people. If we can help with any of that, our contact information is on the website. We'd love to be a part of those inspired conversations and help you in any way we can. We look forward to hearing from you as we begin this series called Rivers today. Well, a familiar passage over the years at Living Waters, and certainly as we continue to appreciate the name of our church, Living Waters, and even our most recent refresh of our church logo, it points to this narrative of rivers and of the work of Holy Spirit. John 7:38 says, "Whoever believes in me, as scriptures has says, rivers of living water will flow from within them." What a beautiful invitation. What a beautiful image. And finding ways to express that as a person and as a people is so important. Underneath this, and most recently, if you've been tracking with things that we've been talking about at Living Waters Church, we are taking a break from a most recent study in a series called Acts, appreciating the hope and curiosity that stirs in our hearts as we think appropriately about this idea from the book of Acts to us now here today. Jesus' promise reminds us of how God's love and heart for his people and promises are the same generation after generation. And those promises from the book of Acts to today, these promises are true or they're not. We have, of course, the curiosity to appreciate confession and repentance as we're wanting to learn how to be dependent on Holy Spirit. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights." And this call that we're appreciating is to be single-minded in our looking first for God's gifts and blessing, for either God's gifts are good or they are not, they are meant for us or they're not. And finally, we're curious because of our church values. Specifically, I would reflect on our church value of community, which says so much, but as you can see in that last line, it says, relying on the Holy Spirit to unite and sustain us. And that is either a value for us as a people or it's not. So in this series called Rivers, we're taking a look with intention and invitation for conversation and experience. Again, four big ideas. Today we're talking about longing, for the Spirit gives life. We're talking next week, Kirsten will talk about repentance, for the Spirit is holy. Dependence, the Spirit is power. And finally, expectation, the Spirit is promised. So today, our first conversation is centered on longing. candidly asking what it means to long for the life that the Spirit gives. So to help us perhaps on board into today's conversation, or maybe even ones to come, we begin by considering Ephesians 4:3, which says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." I highlight three things. Every effort. What does effort look like? Keep unity. What does unity look like? And the bond. What does peace look like, or the bond of peace in relationship to Holy Spirit? So three ideas to the effort. Paul says to the church in Ephesus, make every effort. How do we know what effort or action to take as it relates to growing with knowledge and experience and obedience to the Holy Spirit? Well, the word effort here is to be understood not as what would be common in our initial thinking about human striving. This is about next steps in human surrendering. Human surrendering, not striving. It's about surrendering, our effort to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Tyler Stanton, in his book Familiar Stranger, in his early chapters, identifies various ways people experience a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And he speaks very generally, but perhaps it's helpful. He says there are those people that have a relationship with the Holy Spirit that perhaps would be best understood as very unknown. For a person considering knowledge, obedience, and experience of a Holy Spirit, it's very unknown, uncharted territory. Someone says, I know very little. Another category, perhaps, are those people that have knowledge, experience, and an understanding of obedience, and they would just say, I'm quite fearful, or I'm very cautious when it comes to a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the other group that Tyler identifies is the available people. Trust is high, grace abounds in heart and mind, and as a result of that, the life is wide open to being knowledgeable, about being obedient, and ultimately about growing in relationship with Holy Spirit. It's important for us to start where we are at today in our relationship with the Holy Spirit for us to appreciate what our next effort or action should be. For again, someone in a various different category, again, not to label people, but to give us a bit of direction, there would be different effort or action as it relates to what category we find ourselves of relationship in today. So, as we onboard this conversation, we're asking you to make an effort to take action towards, again, knowledge, obedience, and experience of the Holy Spirit. Our verse says, make every effort what? To keep the unity of the Spirit. At first glance, you might think this is simply about human camaraderie. However, the unity being talked about is not merely agreeing with people or getting along with people you like or the absence of conflict. We're talking here about unity with the person of the Holy Spirit. Paul says to Christians, our role is to keep what we have been given. Keep the unity of the Spirit. It's not an assumption. There needs to be an understanding. In order to keep something, you first have to know that you have something. So what is this unity that we have been given? Well, Christians have been given so much when they become followers of Jesus. When someone becomes a Christian, they are adopted by the Spirit into a relationship of sonship or adoption, becoming a child of God, and knowing that other people as well have been adopted into this type of relationship. This is made possible through the forgiveness of sins and the giving of a new heart and mind. So it is from this new heart and this new mind that we would find ourselves united to the Spirit and alongside people that are doing the same thing. so authentically. I would say my tendency, our tendency, if you don't mind, is to give up on the Spirit for all kinds of reasons, which include how prone we are to not Spirit-enlivened living, but to selfishness and resistance to personal sacrifice. So again, what is this unity of the Spirit that moves us away from selfishness and resistance to unity in the Spirit? Well, again, bit of repetition here, but unity involves a growing personal knowledge of who the Holy Spirit is and ensuring that we are obedient in asking, receiving, and obeying the Holy Spirit. Again, we have to be honest in our application. So to be making room to say again, for someone who is in the unknown category or the cautious and fearful category or the available category, these steps of involvement will look different. Our appeal to you today is to take your next step in relationship to Holy Spirit. Long for an ability and a capacity and faith and trust in God to take those next steps. We keep the unity of the Spirit by continuing to long for and receive from the Spirit knowledge, change, and direction for growth and obedience. In the Old Testament, we read the prayer of a man that longed for this knowledge and for this growth. Psalm 42, as a deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go and stand before him? Longing. We introduce the word longing as it relates to our heart's trajectory towards the Spirit. Longing is a good descriptor to help us sort out matters of life and obedience. Longing, introduced in Scripture, is one of the deepest experiences of what it means to be a human. And our Holy Spirit wants to meet us in our humanity and our longing as humans. We are in some type of longing situation each and every day of our lives. Most basic longing includes a longing for love and recognition, a longing to belong, a longing for meaning and purpose, a longing for peace and for healing and reconciliation. So we are to remind ourselves that we were created with those most basic longing and expression of need. So the issue is not if we long, the issue is where our needs and longing will lead us. We're invited in this series to bring all of ourselves to the Holy Spirit, to take these basic longings where the rubber meets the road and pursue a relationship of knowledge, obedience, and experience with the Holy Spirit. Perhaps our biggest human mistake is as we sort out our longings and our needs, we do so by way of maybe what some call compartmentalization. So instead of bringing all of ourselves, we bring a compartmentalized version of ourselves to the Lord, our true Holy Spirit. This leaves us, perhaps, with things that we think we are able to take care of ourselves, and giving to God the things that we most easily give over to God. This type of thinking and practice can lead to us thinking that we have the good parts and we have the more challenging or bad parts. And as a result, we potentially are in danger of making peace with the many things that we're struggling with year after year and never growing up in our relationship with God and the Holy Spirit. James 1 says, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and intents. The enemy, our enemy, often works through misplaced longings. For example, longing for intimacy can become lust. Longing for security can become greed. Longing for significance can become pride. Longing for rest can become laziness or escapism. We should know that the action and attitude and longings that accompanies sin needs to be confessed as a temptation before it will ultimately be confessed as a sinful action. So Jesus speaks to human longing because Jesus wants us to come all the time just as we are, to come authentically to Him, bringing all of ourselves to Him. It was expressed in John 7 where Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." Jesus does not shame our neediness or our longing. He invites longing and thirsty people to come. Living beyond our insecurity and fears to bring all things to God will come because of grace. It will become because of trust and grace. But friends, we need to get there in our relationship with Jesus. Jesus consistently met with people who were longing. The woman at the well was longing for love. Zacchaeus longed for significance. The rich young ruler longed for certainty. Blind Bartimaeus longed for mercy. The prodigal son longed for a place to call home. And Jesus still offers to meet the needs of longing people, needy people. See, being an apprentice or a follower of Jesus is not for people who have no needs. It's for people who have come to realize that their deepest need is for God and become people that bring all of their lives, all day and every day, to God. See, the Bible actually teaches that longing needs to become worship, which we will appreciate as we continue to become spirit-filled and enlivened in worship. Worship, again, bringing all of ourselves to God. No compartmentalizing. David wrote in Psalm 63, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Many think that this was written by King David after his son Absalom rose up against him. Absalom's uprising forced David to run for his safety into the Judean wilderness. So at this time, Psalm 63, many historians would peg David as someone who had lost his job, had lost his throne, lost his family, lost his home, lost his future. And David's longing for safety, family, relationship, honor, security, respect, and for an apology, while he had none of that at this time, and he had no idea if he ever would, his longings for legitimate needs that he had led him to worship. For longings become holy when they lead us to God. For there was now a desert around him, but there wasn't a desert in him. So notice what David says in prayer and worship. In worship, he says, "You are my God," for there's just one. In praise, he said, "You are my God." In confession, he said, "I thirst for you." And in surrender, he said, "My whole body longs for you." See, discipleship is not a matter of knowledge and understanding. It is to lead to dependence. For our longing will always create dependence on something or someone. But again, in repetition, longing becomes holy when it leads our spirit, our soul, and our body to God. And again, not just to God, but to us receiving from God a meeting of those needs in due time. See, David had a choice: bring his longing to God or take matters into his own hands. And Jeremiah, at a different time, warns against the sin of turning and taking matters into our own hands.
In Jeremiah, he records, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Notice the two concerns, the concern of relationship. They have forsaken God, the spring of living water. Again, the big idea, all our needs and our longings are given to keep us coming back to God, not to turn us away or into a compartmentalized life and living. The criticism and judgment came because they dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. These people had turned to other sources to meet the very needs that God had given them when he created them and promised to meet. Notice what Jeremiah, how he unpacked this, he records what God says to the people. The cisterns are cracked, meaning they reach back. These people reach back for what they think are cisterns full of living water, but the cisterns are cracked and are so deceptive. It looks like they contain what they need, but it doesn't. It's cracked and not containing anything useful at all. It will be the same for us, friends. As you retrace the steps of your life, we will see commonly on all sides of the roads, all kinds of broken cisterns that at one time perhaps we picked up and looked to or embraced, realizing that there's nothing sustaining there for us. These cisterns represent the names of places we've gone, relationships we've had, things we've bought and purchased, places we worked, activities that we have participated in. The broken cisterns, trying perhaps to meet the needs and longings of our heart that Jesus says, "Well, you're thirsty, you're longing, come to me and receive streams of living waters. Keep unity in the Spirit and I will meet your every need." And lastly, Ephesians 4 says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Here's this third idea, the bond of peace. Unity is often understood through a bond. We're bonded together, or we are united together. Here, the writer says and illustrates this bond is actually has the potential to be peace. What is the bond of peace? Well, again, it's not just simply the absence of conflict. The bond of peace is our active involvement and commitment to live in peace, a peace-filled relationship with the Holy Spirit. A bond forms as the Spirit guides people into the truth about Jesus. A bond forms as the Spirit shines light on lies that have become our truths that are not helping us at all. A bond forms when we sense His presence and His power enabling us to do things that the Spirit is asking us. A bond forms when we are regularly enlivened with knowledge of the Spirit's good love for us as the Spirit directs us to all things and matters related to Jesus. So again, as I said at the beginning, this series is about, of course, learning, but it's about invitation. When I was in college, the young adult pastor at our church was a really good man, and I grew to appreciate him more and more. I appreciated how he taught Scripture. I appreciated the care and attention he gave to people, attention he gave to me, and I appreciated how he recognized and released people, and again, including me. I made every effort to get to know him because he was a saved person. He's a godly person. He was a Spirit-filled person. I made every effort to get to know him. And I was quick to say yes as he mentored me, as he responsibly taught me things for consideration, as he recognized and released me towards action and obedience and context of working together. I knew he had my best interest in mind.
I mean, Steve had his shortcomings, as we all do, but I admired him as a person, and I made every effort to get to know him. I was available. And perhaps this series is mostly about making ourselves available, making an effort to make ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. And available to the steps that Scripture teaches us on how to have knowledge, how we walk in obedience, and of course, how do we experience this life that Holy Spirit wants to offer us. As we begin this series again, I would just remind you to ensure that you begin where you are. And for us to take that honest look at this time in this series to say, well, actually, where am I in my relationship with the Holy Spirit? Am I in the category of the big unknown? I really don't know much. Well, as you start there, make every effort to increase your knowledge and understanding. If you're cautious and careful, for whatever reason that is, I encourage you to make every effort to discover how trustworthy Holy Spirit is, and that there's a grace for you to be honest about where you're at and where you're sensing God wants to take you, but perhaps you're unsure of ever how to get there. Maybe today you're available. Your mind and your heart is wide open. I encourage you to bring that as a prayer to the Lord and ask Him to help you make every effort to stay in this unity of life and living, because the Holy Spirit has so much for you of where you're at to lead you along in paths of life and living that you have no idea of how that life will and those that leading will take you. So as I pray today, I want to pray together that we know our starting place. Where we start is not where we're asked to stay, but let's appreciate the starting places. Let's surrender our lives to the Holy Spirit. Let's open our minds and our hearts to allow Him to lead us along in this united journey of becoming a Spirit-led people, obedient to Scripture, fulfilling our church values, and of course, all the good that comes as followers of Jesus. So let's pray. Father, today we thank You for Your invitation to us. We sense, Holy Spirit, that you are trusted, that You offer us grace. You can be trusted with our lives and our longings. We bring our lives to You, all of them, by faith, because of grace, knowing that You have so much for us. We pray today for those that know little about You, that these would be days of great learning and understanding and appreciation. For those that carry caution and fear, we pray, Holy Spirit, that even right now that You would whisper words of life and encouragement to that You're a trusted one, You're a trusted leader. You have so many good and beautiful gifts for us. We pray for the available. We pray that this would be a day of great discovery of life and living. We'd all take these beautiful next steps, making that good effort of surrendering to You and receiving all that You have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.